quiz time. I have some lyrics here for you, and I want you to tell me who this is. No, I don't want a battle from beginning to end. I don't want a cycle of recycled revenge. I don't want to follow death and all of his friends. Who sang it? Coldplay. Free jar of Vegemite. That's my Australian professor used to say. No, I don't want a battle from beginning to end. I don't want a cycle of recycled revenge. I don't want to follow death and all of his friends. The resurrection answers every cry in that chorus. The resurrection is an answer to everything that this band is hoping for. We want to get out of this cycle where we hurt one another and we get back at one another. We want to get out of a cycle of pain and suffering. We want death and all of his friends to stop reaching back into the present and taking us down. And the resurrection is an answer to all of that. It is the beginning of the defeat of death and all of his friends. So, would you please rise and join me as I read our gospel reading this morning? This is Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first light of the new week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to keep vigil at the tomb. Suddenly, the earth reeled and rocked under their feet as God's angel came down from heaven, right up to where they were standing, and he rolled back the stone, and then he sat on it. Shafts of light lightning blazed from him. His garments shimmered snow white. The guards at the tomb were scared to death. They were so frightened that they couldn't move. The angel spoke to the women. There's nothing to fear here. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one that they nailed to the cross. He is not here. He was raised, just as he said. Come and look at the place where he was laid. Now get on your way quickly. Tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. That's the gospel message, the good news. The women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb, and they ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said to them. And they fell to their knees and embraced his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said, you're holding on to me for dear life, but don't be frightened like that. Go tell my brothers that they are going to go ahead of me into Galilee, and I will meet them there. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, if you were with us last week, we had sort of a Clark Kent Superman incident. Rob was up here speaking, and he took off his glasses, and instead of transforming to Superman, he became Nathaniel, one of the 12 disciples. And Nathaniel, what was his tagline? What did Nathaniel say? No good can come out of
Benjamin, this is so exciting, I can't believe it. The tomb is empty. He's alive, Benjamin, he's alive.
Settle down.
He's risen. Well, good news travels fast. How'd they know?
I don't know, sir. Settle down. Why are you so confident that Jesus is alive again?
This morning, two women from our group, both named Mary. It's like every second woman is named Mary in our group. I don't know.
It's like Donna and Laura in our church.
I know. So these two Marys, they go to the tomb, and while they're on their way there, there's this massive earthquake. And this angel comes down and rolls away the tomb, and the guards fall down as if they're dead. And the angel says, he's risen. He isn't here. He's alive. Just like he said, go tell the disciples. And then they're on their way to tell the disciples. And Jesus stops them. He meets them. They touch him. This is not a ghost, Benjamin. They touch his feet, physical body. He's alive.
I don't know. You know, you and I, we've been around the block a few times. We know, like, in our context, you can't trust women.
Benjamin, there was a day when I would have said nothing good can come from a woman's testimony. But Jesus never treated women that way. He always treated women like first-class citizens. And I don't know. Joel, the prophet, said something about pouring out his spirit on men and women. And I wonder if the fact that Jesus appeared first to women, and women really are the first evangelists, they're really now the first ones to share the good news. I wonder if in Jesus' kingdom, women, that old curse thing is going to be different, and women and men are going to be equal. I'm just wondering about that.
Okay. So yeah. We can trust what the women were saying, but you know, all they're saying is that there's an empty tomb. So for all we know, someone took the body.
Oh, did you hear that rumor? I can't believe that rumor. That is so foolish. That just says, I guess, that, you know, some things haven't changed. I mean, our supposed religious godly leaders are still colluding with the Romans. They're still feeding whatever lies it takes to hold on to their little bit of power. But, I mean, Benjamin, I mean, just use your head. You're a smart guy. I mean, what, 10, 12, 15, 20, 30, whatever Roman guards, fully armed, trained to kill, versus us disciples cowering in fear, scattered, discouraged. We wouldn't even try, and if we tried, there's no way we could do that. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Yeah, you're kind of wimpy peasants and fishermen, right?
Yes, thank you for that. Yes, it's true.
Okay. All right, so maybe the body wasn't stolen, but okay, so there's been this blip, this weird thing where out of everyone who's ever died, you know, one person gets raised to life. Okay, that's kind of cool, but what's the big deal?
Oh, Benjamin, I'm just starting to get my weak fisherman mind around this, but basically what I'm starting to figure out is that if Jesus came back to life, which he said he would do, God has vindicated him. Everything that Jesus said about himself is true. Everything he said would happen will happen. It means that Jesus isn't just some miracle worker teacher who's got some charisma and can attract a crowd. It means that he's the promised Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the ultimate judge. It means that thing that John the Baptist said that I couldn't figure out, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, that changes how we relate to God. I mean, the whole temple, sacrifices, the priests, all that's over because Jesus said no one comes to the Father except through him. And not only the way we relate to God is different, but who God relates to. I mean, he's said it lots. I mean, he's the Messiah for the whole world, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, even Romans. I'm just beginning to get my head around it, but this changes everything, Benjamin.
Okay, but I'm looking around, and all of the same people are still in charge that put Jesus to death. The yeah. Romans, the priests that were really corrupt, and so on. Like, yeah. I'm looking around. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, you know, I get that on the surface, things don't look different. Although for me, they look completely different. And I think for you, on Friday, when Jesus was killed, I mean, the one who we thought was the way was a false path. The one who we thought was the truth looked like a liar. The one who we thought was the life was dead. I mean, Friday was so devastating. All our hopes were crushed. Everything we thought we understood was over. And I mean, I remember thinking, no one will ever call this Friday good. Nothing good can come out of this. But now, with Jesus alive, that changes everything. I mean, no matter, I'm sure I will still be confused sometimes, and I won't understand everything, but Jesus is alive, so he is the truth. There will be times when I won't know what to do, and I'll feel powerless to change things, but Jesus is the way, and he's the Lord of the universe, and he's in control, and I know that in the end, Jesus wins, so somehow, even if it looks like I'm going to lose, like Friday, Jesus wins, so I'll win. I mean, the fact that Jesus is alive means that his promise that even if I die, I will live, because I will also be raised to new life with him. It's amazing. You know, when I think about it, nothing has changed from what people can see. This world is just as beautiful and as ugly as it ever was, and people are just the same. you know, I don't think that Jesus coming changes the world and takes away all the problems. I don't think it turns me suddenly into some super person. I think I still have all the same frailties. But I think Jesus alive means that he is at work in our imperfect world, and he's at work through broken vessels, weak, dumb fishermen and shepherds to do amazing things. I was just thinking about Peter. I just saw him. He is so devastated. I mean, you know, impetuous, loudmouthed Peter who blurted out he would never deny Jesus, and then he denied him three times. I mean, none of us were any better. We just don't shoot off our mouth the way he does. And he's so devastated, but Jesus said he was going to establish his new kingdom community somehow on Peter. I don't think Peter's going to become perfect. I'll bet he still puts his foot in his mouth sometimes, but I think Jesus is going to do something incredible to establish his church through imperfect Peter. He might even be able to use me in some significant way. I mean, this is what I think, Benjamin. This is what I think. I think that this temple and the religious leaders who we're all so impressed with, I think Rome, this nation that looks completely unconquerable and will be ill forever, I think someday we're going to be studying about them in history classes, ancient history. But I think this little tiny band of us, weak, imperfect fishermen, shepherds, former tax collector, women, I think God is going to use us to turn this world upside down. I think Jesus alive changes everything, even if it doesn't look different right now. But look, I got to go. A bunch of us are meeting up in Emmaus tonight, and I think I see my buddy Cleopas up ahead. I'm going to try to catch up to him. See ya. See, Benjamin. Hey, Cleopas, wait up.
Oscar for Rob, right? If nothing else, for his bravery in wearing that. Well done. The message is that the resurrection changes everything. What did Rob say? It means, for starters, that everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus claimed about himself, about what God was doing in and through him, the resurrection is a way of God saying, yeah, buddy, you were right. And everything that Jesus said is going to happen, we can now trust because of the resurrection. God gives Jesus a big, giant yes, thumbs up. That is part of the resurrection. And so that means that death and all of his friends have been served notice. Who are death's friends? Suffering, pain, depression, anxiety, fear, all of the things that get in our way, that pull us down. The resurrection is the answer to that. Everything changes. Everything changes because of the resurrection. There is hope. Just look at what Jesus himself went through. What does he go through? The resurrection shows that Jesus was right and all of those leaders were wrong about him. It shows that Jesus is innocent and that God will justify the innocent and make right the things that were wrong. It shows that, what about Rome and the high priests, these people who put Jesus to death? The resurrection shows that God is going to deal with all of the corrupt powers and all of the things that they have done wrong and are doing wrong and will do wrong. The resurrection is the beginning of the answer to that. Think about what Jesus went through in the garden. What did he go through in the garden that last night? He sat there weeping and scared and asking that if anything else could happen, let that happen, but let me not have to go through this. And the resurrection deals with all of that anxiety and all of that fear, and it shows us that God brings his people through it when they follow him. The resurrection is the answer to Jesus' cry on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? The resurrection answers that, doesn't it? God did not forsake him, and he does not forsake you. He does not. This resurrection changes everything. It changes the fact that the disciples abandoned Jesus. Have you ever been abandoned by your friends, by your closest friends? The resurrection is the start of the answer to that. It deals with the open wounds that Jesus has. Jesus continues to carry those scars with him, but they don't hurt anymore. And God's going to do something similar with your scars as well. The resurrection is the promise of new creation because Jesus' body is renewed and restored, and it cannot die. And that is a promise that everything is going to change, not just you going to heaven someday, but that this entire created world, the body that you are in and the world that we inhabit, the resurrection is a picture of the promise that God makes that he is going to continue to care for this world and to make it right. All of the things that are wrong, everything changes because of the resurrection. The resurrection is not just about some future death that we are anticipating, as though it's saying that God will eventually deal with death. Absolutely, God will. He will. But God is in the process, because of the resurrection, of dealing not only with death, but death and all of his friends in the present, all of the suffering, all of the depression, all of the despair. God wants to heal and restore, because he has defeated death already, and so he is making this place new now in the present because of what Jesus has done. Everything changes because of the resurrection, and that includes you. What did Nathanael here say? Jesus is about to send disciples who are going to go change the world. These imperfect people, God is still pleased to use to make this world a better place. And God wants to partner with imperfect people. And because of the power of the resurrection that he puts into us, as we are going to sing about in a few minutes, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. That is the promise of the Spirit. That is what God wants to do for you. He wants to put that power in you and start to, and continue to change the world. He is going to make you just like he made Christ. That is the promise. That is the hope that we have. Everything changes. Everything changes because of what we celebrate today, because of what God did in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have walked patiently with us throughout our Lenten journey. You have celebrated our successes and our growing understanding of our love. You have mourned our failures and our rejections of your healing mercies. This day, as we have gathered to celebrate the joy of Easter, let us remember that we are to become Easter people, people of the resurrection, people who have that resurrection power living in us because of what you have done. People who know that what we thought was going to be impossible has been conquered and everything has changed as a result. So forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us for our fears. Fill us with your healing love and help. Help us to become the disciples that you need to serve this world. For we ask this in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, darkness is gone. Light has flooded into our lives and our souls because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
His love and mercy are poured out for you. He is renewing the world through Jesus Christ's death and his resurrected life. You have been forgiven and you have been invited into that life with him. Please accept it. We are now going to celebrate both cross and resurrection at the table, the communion table. The communion table both looks to the cross, but it also looks forward to the time of resurrection when Jesus promises his disciples, I will eat this meal with you now in anticipation of my death and resurrection, but I will celebrate it with you again in the coming resurrection in the future. And so we look forward today. We celebrate both what Christ has done on the cross and what God has done as we look forward in anticipation of the promise being fulfilled. that we are going to celebrate resurrection and new life with him again. Now, let me pray. Lord, thank you for cross and resurrection. Thank you for a meal that you said you would celebrate again with us when the resurrection is consummated. We come to this table to remember what you've done, that what you've done makes us right with you, and that you have given us hope for your return when you will finally renew all things. Thank you that nothing can escape the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. We come here to celebrate you and what you have done for us, celebrating and holding nothing back. And as we come, we offer you ourselves once more. In your name, amen.